Today's reading is Second Timothy chapters 1, verses 1 through 7. In this, Paul unpacks the four fruits of the Spirit's work in our lives in verse 7, which is fearlessness, power, love, and self-control. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, in Christ Jesus our Lord.
I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy.
I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you.
For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline.
Let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, speak to us as only you can. Get me out of the way. Do the work that your Holy Spirit wants to do here and now in this time and place. None of us are here by accident. We are here. Everything is preordained. Everything from the beginning of time right up to this moment, there is nothing that is out of place. And so we thank you, Lord. We ask your blessing on this day, and speak to us as only you can through your Holy Spirit and all of God's people sin.
Amen.
Are you a martyr or a tyrant? Would you rather follow Jesus in peace and the life he's called you to? Or would you rather follow an angry little Hitler sort of person? Would you rather follow Jesus in peace? Or would you rather follow Hitler in anger? Now I know that's a little extreme, but there are a whole lot of angry people in the world. It's obvious that they do not have an inner peace. And Jesus calls us to do whatever it takes. And it is no mistake that 11 out of 12 disciples were martyred for their faith. Today, we're reading 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. It's the Apostle Paul writing his final words in this life that we have, his final written words. It was written between the years of 64 and 65 A.D., and he was executed by Rome in 67 A.D., so just a couple of years before that. This is his second imprisonment in Rome, and he was writing to his dear, dear friend, Timothy, who was a young man who was brought up in the faith. And he was a little shy. Paul knew that he wrote to Timothy, and if you read the rest of this, if you read 1st and 2nd Timothy, but if you especially read 2nd Timothy, you'll find out that he knows things are not going to go well, and he's sure he's going to die, and indeed he does. He knew he wouldn't make it, so these are Paul's last words, and it is considered his best personal letter, and we know it's his final personal letter. So I want to go with over just a few things with you this morning. In verse 2, Paul's message is grace and mercy and peace. This is what he tells Timothy. He says, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and the Son, Christ Jesus. Now the word Christ means Messiah, so every time you see that, so it would be Messiah Jesus. So he says, this is the message of God. part of it as well. And peace is being on good terms with the Creator, the Judge of the universe. We have undeserved favor. He is holding back punishment, and He is giving us peace because we accept the sacrifice of Christ Jesus and we follow Him. Would you rather follow Jesus in peace or a little Hitler in anger? And then he goes on to say, I worship God with a clear conscience. And if you know anything about the Apostle Paul, you know that he was killing Christians when he got saved, when he was blinded by the light. Some of us, it takes a lot to get us to stop. And you've heard my story about God tried several times kicking me in the backside and all that to get me to be a preacher, and I finally relented. That doesn't matter. Well, let's go on to verses 3 and 4. He says he's grateful to God. He's grateful for Timothy. He's thankful for Timothy because Timothy is the new blood. He's the young man. He is replacing Paul in leadership at the church at Ephesus. And he says this. He says, I remember you every night and every day as I pray. I remember your tears, Timothy. And now I long to see you. And why does he long to see him? He's on death row, ladies and gentlemen. In Rome. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Because there's something good about being with somebody that you have a history with. Somebody that's on the same side as you. They're on the martyr's side with Jesus. They are not on the Hitler side, the angry ruler. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. And I remind you again, Paul knows the trial is going badly. The end is near, and he has a death sentence if he's found guilty, and indeed he is. And wouldn't it be good in a time like this to see a friendly face? Fill me with joy, dear Timothy. Come and see. Verses 5 and 6. He's grateful for Timothy's sincere faith. And it was passed down by his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. Now, of course, this would have to be Old Testament faith, right? And the New Testament faith as well. But he says, and now remember this, Timothy, rekindle your gift that God has given you. Do you have a spiritual gift? You do have a spiritual gift, whether you know it or not. But Timothy's gift was a gift of leadership. And every once in a while, I would say fairly frequently, we need to be reminded that we have a gift that God wants us to use for the kingdom. What is that gift? Is it a gift to teach? Is it a gift to encourage? Is it a gift of leadership? What is it? Remember, God does not give us a spirit of fear. This is in verses 5 and 6. He says, God does not give you a spirit of fear, Timothy, but a spirit of power and of love and self-discipline. Now I know that you are afraid and you are young and that it is a life or death situation and there's so much quarreling going on in this church. There are churches today that are splitting up left and right. And that's what's going on here at the church in Ephesus. And so he writes to him, he says, God does not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. And so, Timothy, you are the leader, and I want you to rekindle that gift of leadership and lead and judge and tell the people what they need to hear. It is a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. In these first 7 verses of Paul's final letter that we have, he outlines the plan for Timothy to take Paul's place in leadership over the church in Ephesus. Of course, Paul founded the church in Ephesus. And he's given him the outline in these first 7 verses. The outline of Paul's second letter to Timothy goes like this. I'm going to give you 3 of them. Chapter 1, verse 1 to 2:13. So 1:1 to 2:13. If you want to write these down, you don't have to. If you have a perfect memory and you can recall everything, there's no test afterwards. God knows your heart. 1:1 to 2:13. In this first section, Paul challenges Timothy to accept leadership.
It is what you have been called to do. Now rekindle your gift for leadership. Now your gift may be something else. It may not be leadership, but it may be hospitality. Some of you women are amazing with the foods that you make, and if I hang around too long, I gain weight. But that's good. You make us feel welcome. You make us feel welcome. Leadership, hospitality. Some of you can teach. Some of you are professional teachers. Say, well, that was a long time ago, Pastor John. That's okay. God will still use you. And guess what? You cannot outgive the Lord if you start teaching because He wants you to teach. If there's a need and you need to be teaching, then that's what you should be doing. And God will bless you for that sacrifice that you make. You can never outgive the Lord. The gift of serving. The gift of music and art. Of course, I think those are fantastic. But the gift of music and art. And, of course, we have another brilliant musician all the way from China with us this morning. Well, that's what your father says. and he's played me some of the music as well. So, anyway, art and music. And you know that generosity is a gift? Generosity is a gift. These are the gifts that need to be rekindled. What has God called you to do? Rekindle that gift. Don't let it lie on the doorstep. Don't let it be locked up in the closet. And then in chapter 2:14 to 4:5 is the second section. And this is really the center of what's going on, where Paul is calling Timothy to confront the corruption that is going on in the church. They have gone away from the good news and they have bastardized it. They have just corrupted it. And Timothy, you need to remind them of what the truth is. Have a backbone. Get up there and do it. And then the final section in the last chapter, chapter 4, verses 6 to 22, it is Paul's final plea for Timothy to come and visit him because he's dying. He's going to be killed. He knows it. He knows what he did. This is a guy who was killing Christians a few years before because he thought that they were outside of what God wanted. And now, he himself will be killed for his faith in Jesus Christ. Paul's final plea is in chapter 4, calling for Timothy to come and visit. The end is near. The trial is not going well. It would do me so much good to see you, my dear brother. Paul is undoubtedly the greatest missionary the world has ever seen. We know that. How would he impact so many? I mean, I looked him up. They have these top 100 lists, the most influential people in world history. The Apostle Paul usually makes that. He's usually in the top 20, and often he's in the top 10 because of the impact that he's had on life on earth. So how did he impact so many? Well, Paul had three things that were always there. They were constants in his ministry. Are you ready for these? Number one, there was always a challenge. Number two, there was always suffering. Number three, there was always struggle. Every single time that he wanted to do something good, and he says this in his word, doesn't he? In his letter, he says, I find it to be a law that whenever I want to do something good for the Lord, the Satan is there to snatch it away. So brothers and sisters, don't think that if something is going wrong, you may recall my first Sunday at this church when we had the great flood of Noah. Right? And people said, oh no, this is a bad omen. And I said, no, this is just Satan. It's just Satan. Satan has no power. He's already been defeated. I've read the whole book. The end of the story, we win. All of these things are spiritual warfare. We do not fight against flesh and blood. wickedness. Now I've got my handwriting here, and it's a little small, so I'm going to have to put these reading things up.
So about spiritual warfare, listen to these words. Jesus said in Matthew 28, we call this the Great Commission. In other words, this is what every Christian should be doing. Go into all the world, make disciples of every nation, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And that is a bloody, tough challenge. Because that's exactly what it was for all the disciples, except for John. But Jesus says at the end, he says, don't worry. Surely I am with you to the end of the age. How many disciples did Jesus have? The original? There were 12, right? They had lost one and then they put another one in. But there were 12. How many were in the inner circle? Three. Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. The sons of thunder. James didn't last too long. He was the first martyr. But Peter and John did. So James didn't live long enough to have a tremendous impact, but Peter and John are both listed in the top 100 most influential people of all time. On almost every list, and they're quite high up because of the impact of Christianity. They were the inner circle. And you know, there are benefits to hanging out with Jesus. There are benefits to hanging out with good musicians. You learn little tricks from them. I learned from trumpet players how to better play the trumpet. When I hang out with guitar players, they say, what the heck are you doing playing the guitar? That's a good one. But there are benefits to hanging out with Jesus. But may I remind you that there were 12 disciples, and only 3 of them were close. That's 1 out of 4. Are you a follower of Christ, or are you sold out to Christ? The difference, we can see it, and I'm glad we're here this morning. The difference is right here. The difference is this chapel and that church, right over there. If we want to stay here, we can stay here. But if we want to impact the world, if we want to follow Jesus and go into all the world, if we believe what he tells us, that he will always be with us, if we have faith, then that's great. We want to stay here. Or do we really want more friends than we've ever had before? Do we want to do a great work for God's kingdom? This chapel, this old chapel, or that new building, and that new building can be added unto, brothers and sisters. Have you ever seen a new baby walk?
I love babies, because of course we've had 5 grandsons now. No granddaughters, all grands, but that's okay. Joyce says, I want a pink dress, I want a pink dress, but anyway, we have 2 boy moms. Our 2 daughters are boy moms. When they're small, and you know how this works, right? If the child, the mom or the dad, then you follow them around, you kind of hold them up and say, okay, take the first step. You know, and they keep getting better and better and better. Baby steps. We need to believe that our Heavenly Father believes in us just as much as we believe in our children. It's okay, we might stumble a little bit with our baby walk. Scripture also tells us that there were 12 spies that went to the promised land. 10 of them came back and said, whoa, there's no way we can do this.
story of the talents, right? There were three employees, or servants, or slaves, however you want to say it, but in the old world, basically, they're employees. One was given one talent, one was given two talents, and the other was given five talents. The one with five talents took it and spread his bread upon the water, so to speak, as the Old Testament tells us to do. He stepped out in faith, knowing that God would catch him. And he took five, and he multiplied that into ten. And the one who was given two talents took the two, and he multiplied that into four. How did he do that? Because he hid it under a note. That's what happened with the one that had one talent. The one who was given one talent hid it, buried it in the ground. God came to the one who had multiplied the five into ten, and he said, "You will receive a great reward. You have done very well, my son." The one who was given two and multiplied it to four, Jesus said the same thing. His master said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You will be given much responsibility and much in the way of blessings." And the one who buried the one talent, I hate to say this, but the one who stayed right here in this church and did not have a vision, did not believe that God could do what God says he can do, don't call God a liar. He took it from him. He said, "You foolish servant, you had no faith. Whatever I was, the one talent you were given, I will take back from it. And I will give it to the one who knows how to multiply." This is our mission. Would you rather follow Jesus in peace, or a little Hitler in anger? Are you a martyr or a tyrant? There's a quote about martyrs and tyrants, and I wanted to share that with you. And it is true. This is from one of my favorite philosophers, Soren Kierkegaard. I'm going to go ahead and say he is my favorite philosopher. This is a quote from him. He says this: "The tyrant dies and his rule is over. The martyr dies and his rule begins." It was true with Jesus. And it's what we are called to do. We're called to die if we have to. And that day may be coming. But why should we fear death when we know that there is eternal life on the other side? Brothers and sisters, this is the life we're called to. And Apostle Paul calls Timothy. He says, "The spirit that God has given us is not a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of power and of love and self-discipline." Would you pray? Lord God, thank you for challenging me. Thank you for challenging us. Lord, help us to do those baby steps and to get onto the tricycles and the bicycles and the cars and then the spaceships and into everything that you have waiting for us. So many blessings. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your faith in us.